Occidental wins a bid for Anadarko in the Permian Basin after Chevron drops out.
Occidental had previously been the biggest producer in the Permian Basin until very recently when Chevron passed Occidental. And so this will allow Occidental to once again take the top spot.
Plus, the clock is ticking on trade negotiations between the U.S. and China. And tensions rise between the U.S. and North Korea. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our story on the battle for Anadarko, here are some other top stories we're following. President Trump says the U.S. will move ahead with plans to increase tariffs on Chinese goods on Friday, even as trade talks between the U.S. and China resume in Washington.
I did get last night a very beautiful letter from President Xi. Let's work together. Let's see if we can get something done. But they renegotiated the deal. I mean, they took, whether it's intellectual property theft, they took many, many parts of that deal and they renegotiated. You can't do that.
Trump says the U.S. is starting the paperwork to impose tariffs on an additional $325 billion in Chinese goods, on top of the increase on $200 billion in imports that's set to take effect at 12:01 a.m. on Friday. For the latest developments on trade negotiations, please head to our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. In a sign of heightened tensions between the U.S. and North Korea, U.S. authorities say they seized a North Korean shipping vessel. Authorities allege that the vessel, called the Wise Honest, illicitly transported coal from North Korea, violating international sanctions. The revelation comes after North Korea launched two suspected short-range missiles, the country's second weapons test in less than a week. Denuclearization talks between the U.S. and North Korea have stalled. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she agrees with House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler, who said on Wednesday that the U.S. is in a constitutional crisis after the panel voted to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt for failing to release the full Mueller report.
I think that what we want to do is get the facts. We want to do it in a way that is the least divisive to our country and the most productive. We're asking in the constitutional way for the administration to comply. We still have more opportunities. We'll see if Mueller will testify, and that will make a big difference in terms of where we go from here.
The president on Wednesday asserted executive privilege over the report, paving the way for a prolonged conflict that's likely headed to a legal battle that could end up in the Supreme Court. The battle over Anadarko goes to Occidental after Chevron refused to raise its bid for the company, which will greatly expand Occidental's footprint in the lucrative Permian Basin. Joining me now via Skype from Houston is Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson. So, Bradley, this was an interesting and ultimately short-lived bidding war. What happened?
Well, I mean, Chevron had an option to try to match or come close to Occidental's offer and decided not to do it. The difference between the two offers had ranged from anywhere from $5 to a little more than $7 billion, Occidental's offer being higher. But there were a few factors that kind of led the Anadarko board to favor Occidental in the last week or so. And Chevron had the option of coming back and decided not to do it.
So what happened on Chevron's part? We did hear from CEO Michael Wirth, who said he could have outbid Occidental. So why didn't he?
I think he felt like, you know, they offered a deal of $65 a share, and he felt like there was a lot of good that would come from that deal. But I think he didn't quite see it at that much of a higher price. You know, Chevron had put out a number for synergies, definitely business jargon there, but essentially how much they'll be able to do better, you know, with cuts and changes to how they spend money and strategy and all those kinds of things. And Occidental's numbers were much more aggressive than Chevron's, which is why, you know, some analysts and investors kind of were willing to give Occidental the benefit of the doubt. And Chevron, in the end, just didn't want to pay a lot more money for something when I think they feel like there's a lot of opportunity out there right now.
And it was interesting the way this played out in the last couple of days and weeks. Occidental had been engaged in talks with Anadarko, we learned, and then Chevron made its bid, and then Occidental came back into those negotiations.
Yes, I mean, Occidental definitely didn't go away. You know, it looked like they had actually lost. It was April 12th, so just a little less than a month ago when Chevron announced the deal, but then Occidental, you know, made an offer public shortly thereafter. And then in a period of about a week, lined up about $20 billion in firepower, you might say, you know, $10 billion from Berkshire Hathaway and about $9 billion from the French oil major Total to buy assets from Anadarko if Occidental completed the sale. So that was just a lot of what Occidental was doing, was just to try to send the message to shareholders like, hey, we can do this. We can make this work. You know, we're capable of closing this deal, even though Anadarko is almost as big as we are.
So now let's talk about the deal that will go forward. How will this expand Occidental's presence in the Permian Basin, which has become a huge U.S. oil producer?
Well, so Occidental had previously been the biggest producer in the Permian Basin until very recently when Chevron passed Occidental. And so this will allow Occidental to once again take the top spot. And then I think it will depend on how quickly the company wants to grow there. You know, Chevron and Exxon are both growing very, very rapidly in the Permian Basin, and I'm not sure Occidental will want to grow as quickly, but they'll be one of the top, you know, two or three producers in the basin even in the next 8 to 10 years because of this decision.
And where does this leave Chevron in the region? And, you know, overall, what do you think we can hear next from Chevron?
Well, I mean, we asked the chief executive if, you know, another deal could be on the horizon, and he just said, we're fine where we are. We don't have to do a deal. So if we do one, it's going to be a really good one. And so he didn't really say much beyond that. But we spoke to him, you know, a few months back in March. And when asked about this, he kind of said, well, we're doing really well. But the Golden State Warriors, when they were doing really well, you know, they signed additional, you know, free agents like Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins. So he kind of really enjoyed the sports metaphor. So I think it's safe to assume that they might continue to look for other options.
So more to come. I guess we will have to wait and see. That's The Wall Street Journal's Bradley Olson joining us via Skype from Houston with the latest on Occidental's winning bid to acquire Anadarko. Thanks so much, Bradley.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Now onto some more headlines from The Wall Street Journal. Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes is arguing for a breakup of the company in a nearly 6,000-word opinion essay published on the New York Times website on Thursday. Hughes says in the piece that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has gained power that's, quote, unprecedented and un-American. In a statement, Facebook said creating new rules for the Internet, not a corporate breakup, is the way to enforce accountability. Facebook and other social media companies are under more scrutiny from lawmakers in the U.S. and Europe, who are calling for greater regulation. One of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchanges fell prey to hackers this week. Binance reported a loss of $40 million worth of Bitcoin, or 2% of its total Bitcoin holdings, earlier this week. The Wall Street Journal's Stephen Russolillo says hacking of cryptocurrency exchanges last year brought investor skepticism to the market, but that the uncertainty may now be leveling out.
The people I spoke to in the market, they sort of say that there's almost like people have become used to these types of hacks happening, and this is just the risks that you have to deal with. And so they've almost become embedded in the market prices. And instead, now there's a little bit of optimism that maybe the worst is over for these markets.
The price of Bitcoin is up this year, but still down about 70% from its record high in December of 2017. And finally, as Generation Z heads into the U.S. workforce, the Wall Street Journal reports that managers are trying new tacks to reduce anxiety among employees. A 2018 survey by the American Psychological Association found 54% of workers under the age of 23 reported feeling anxious or nervous from stress in the previous month. That's compared to 40% of millennials, 35% of Gen Xers, and 27% of boomers. How do you feel? And how often do your coworkers appear to have higher levels of anxiety? You can let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts or emailing whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News for this Thursday afternoon. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.